All right, good morning, church. It is great to see everybody here this morning on this special day. And I want to just echo what Kyle and others have said, that man, the kids did an awesome job on their play. And it really was inspiring to see them up here singing the words of the faith, teaching us about this great season and what it's all about, and explaining to us in words of children with expressions that show the simplicity of the message exactly what we need to hear this morning. We want to continue that theme as we look at the Bible this morning. So take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. This will be our passage that we'll be exploring this morning during the lesson time. John chapter 1. John's gospel is very different than the other three gospels. The other three kind of follow a typical narrative approach to Jesus' life. But John goes a different direction. His focus is not on the whole of Jesus' life, but on the teachings that he gave. And two-thirds of the gospel of John are in the last just couple weeks of his life. Most of the book is about just the very end of his life. And he has these long discourses between Jesus and his opponents and his disciples, teaching them deeply about who he was and what his purpose is. And so we should not be surprised when we look at John's gospel that we see a different beginning. Matthew and Luke describe the birth narrative of Jesus, and most of what our kids did this morning, of course, comes out of Matthew and Luke. That's that narrative format that we see in those two gospels. But what's interesting about John is that he gives no explicit description of Jesus' birth. Instead, he wants his readers to understand from the beginning who this Jesus really is. When we get to know someone, we ask a few questions. We ask questions like, what's your name? What do you do? And where are you from? And John provides us with that information about this Jesus, the one that his gospel will be all about, in his prologue. John 1, 1 through 18 is one of the greatest single statements about who Jesus is and where he's from and what he is about. And this morning that will be our text. So please read along with me. John chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me." And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Father, we come before You this morning. We ask You to enlighten our hearts by the very words that were spoken here in the Gospel of John. May these words go into us and accomplish something in us today. May they remind us things that we once knew but we've forgotten. May they teach us something new that we have somehow neglected in Your Word. Whatever You want to do, Lord, may we leave changed because Your Word has been put into our ears this morning. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. This is one of those great passages. This is one of those classic parts of the Scripture. All of Scripture is God-breathed. All of it speaks truth. All of it is directly from God's heart. But there's some parts that pack it all in. And this is one of them. John wants us to know something about this Jesus. This Jesus who was born in a manger. And he packs it into these few verses here. Go ahead and advance the slide. Thank you. The first thing that he wants us to know is that this Jesus, who he calls the Word, is divine. The concept of Word or Logos was well known at the time. The Greeks used it to describe some kind of reason, the kind of rationality that all human beings have. They used that word. And even the word logic that we use today comes from this word. The Jews used it in a connection with the divine wisdom that God has. Obviously, the world was spoken into existence. God brought all things into existence through the Word. And John takes this word logos and he utilizes these aspects of it and then he infuses it with new and fresh and richer meaning. The logos, the Word, is divine. And as he proceeds to unpack our understanding of the Word, it grows in amazement if we think about exactly what he's saying. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He wants us to know that this Word was present at the beginning of all things. Think back to the beginning, right? We can all think of beginnings of our, in our lives when something started. And when he's referring to the beginning, he's referring to the beginning. The language that's used here is exactly the same as what you see in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here we see that in the beginning was the Word. So this divine Word, Jesus, was there at the beginning. He's not something that came along later on. Yes, His incarnation, when He comes into the manger, when He's born into this world, that's His earthly incarnation, but that's not the beginning of the Word. He is pre-existent. Before life was created, before stars and planets and galaxies, before all that, He existed. Before matter itself existed, He existed. The Word was there. We also see with in here this section that the Word was with God. The Word was with God, indicating a deep connectedness and relationship with God. He is with Him. He's distinct from God the Father, but there with Him. In verse 18, toward the end of this section, it says, "No one has seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." This idea of being at the Father's side, is, in some of your translations, may say something like, at the Father's bosom or in His bosom. Just imagine that child cuddling up right next to you. That's the concept. He's with God. As close as you can get. But then the next phrase really blows our mind. That this Word who was there at the beginning, who is there with God but distinct from God, is Himself God. The Word was God. Now this one verse has enough theological TNT in it to pack an entire sermon series, right? And we could preach from now until May on this just this phrase. In fact, the first 300 years of Christian history is full of dialogue about what exactly does this mean? How do we explain this? The theological controversies over the nature of Christ. This is the passage that they were unpacking and trying to understand. Suffice it to say that the question of Jesus' identity as very God, true God, and worthy of worship and worthy of prayer, worthy of praise, is contained in this one short verse. To be sure, it is a paradox wrapped in a mystery, how the Word can be with God and God at the same time. But there it is. And I won't try to help explain that mystery. Just let it be there and let it do something in your heart. But John goes on. He goes on in this section to tell us more about this Jesus. The Word is life. He says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." All things were created by this Word. Everything that exists was made through Him. Nothing that exists was made apart from Him. That is all of the physical universe. The Word, Jesus, was not there at creation as a passive observer, not just watching God do all this. He was the agent of creation. He was carrying it out, and nothing that exists was created apart from Him. We see this also in Colossians chapter 1. Paul builds upon this concept and helps us understand it even further. He says in Colossians 1:15 and following, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." You see, Jesus was not that passive observer, but an active agent in the creation of all things. John goes on to say that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This word for light is the word Zoe. In Greek, you have several words for life. You have biological life, bios. But then you have Zoe, which includes more than just the physical. It's more of the soulish. It's the principle of life itself. And in Jesus, in the Word, is this very life principle. And He is the light that shines. It's hard not to think about the fact that we've been reading through the Bible this year as a church, working through from the beginning, from Genesis, and reading all the way through the book, through May this year. But very quickly we saw in the Bible message that life that God created, that something went wrong real quickly after that. And our existence now is one of death. Yes, we have life, but from the moment of birth, we are dying. And that is an experience that we all have. But in Jesus, there is full life. He is the author of it. And of course, we can understand the idea of light. Let there be light is what God said at creation. One of the reasons Christmas is such a light-filled experience, because it's all about light. That's why when you go home, your Christmas trees are lit up. That's when PGE sends you a bill, and it's a little bit higher, right? Or maybe some of you, it's a lot higher if you're on the Kaiser Christmas tree light route. But because we want to celebrate light during this time, because the Word is the light of men. It shines in the darkness. And the darkness, even though there's great darkness in our world, and all you have to do is look at the paper or look online at your favorite CNN website or Fox or whatever, or watch the news, there's darkness. But guess what? It hasn't been overcome, the light. There's darkness in this world. There's darkness in your life that you experience. There's maybe times of darkness that seem to overcome you, but realize that Jesus is the light that cannot be overcome. If we cling to Him, we still have light in us, despite the darkness that may be around us and the darkness that sometimes we may feel in and of ourselves. This is the eternal Word, brothers and sisters. This is the eternal Word that John says was at the beginning and was with God, and the Word was God. He is divine. And He is life. The pre-existent Christ. The light of the world. But then comes the big whammo. This pre-existent Christ who existed before all things. And just think of the last time you've looked at the Hubble telescope and the images of all the galaxies. He existed before all that, and He created all of that. The next time you go out hiking, you look at all the beauty of the nature. He created all of that. And then we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." I don't think there's any other phrase in all human history that is more powerful than that. If you understand what the Word really is, who this eternal Word of God is, He took on flesh. He became a man. He took on all the limitations. John says, He came into His creation, the thing that He made, He entered into it. This manger scene here, He entered into that. The thing He created, He entered into it. He was in the womb of a woman named Mary. Does that kind of freak you out a little bit? God, eternal God, not a lesser God like the Arians and the other heretics say. No, the true God. Not somebody who was a little less or just a go-between. The real God. Was it Mary? And was born. Came through the birth canal. Was laid in a manger. This is shocking and radical and astounding. Amen? This will blow your mind. You know, I had a big debate in the first several hundred years of the church of how to describe Mary. Is it right to call her Mother of God? That sounds a little harsh. So they had another word, the God-bearer, which is true. They're trying to hold together this idea that she truly was, gave birth to God in flesh. John goes on to say, He took on flesh and He dwelt among us. Literally, this means pitched His tent among us. And as we've been reading through the Old Testament, and we see that with the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, when the relationship with God, man was broken by sin because of our own rebellion, because of our own sinfulness, wanting to do what God said, I don't want you to do that, failure to acknowledge Him as our Creator and our Maker and the One who can tell us what to do, we broke that. And the result was a broken relationship between ourselves and God. But God has been longing to be with us. And His presence was with the Israelites in the tabernacle, that tent. And some of His holiness was seen, His presence in some way, His glory was there over the ark in that temple, a version of that tabernacle, that tent. And then we see here in John 1:14 that He took on flesh and pitched His tent among us. This means that God so wants to be in with His creation that He's willing to take on human form, take on human flesh, and dwell with us for a time in flesh. And John says, "We have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." This John the Baptist came proclaiming this one. John Apostle is proclaiming Him, and we continue today to proclaim the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. This is the great message of Christmas. But why is it so important? Why is it so important that John wants us to know all of this stuff, and he wants to make sure that we understand that the Word is the eternal Word? Well, there are several things that come through in this prologue about why John wants us to know this. Number one, Jesus came with a purpose. He became flesh with a purpose. Have any of you ever been traveling on business? Or traveling and somebody says to you, are you here on business or pleasure? Let me tell you something. When Jesus came and dwelt among us, He was on business. He was on business to save you and to save me and to save the world and to save anyone who would call upon His name. He's here for business. Not just so that later we can have a nice holiday, but so He can save us. Because we need saving. You need saving. I need saving. The world needs saving. He was here on business, and John wants us to know that. He mentions later in his gospel, toward the end, here's why I wrote all this stuff. John chapter 20, verse 30. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in His name. You see, Jesus was here on a purpose. He wasn't just here kind of as a tourist to check things out and see how they're going. He has knowledge of all things. He was here on a purpose to dwell amongst us and to save us. That's why He came. Secondly, Jesus is the author of life. John wants us to understand this. And if you read the rest of the book of John, how many times does this word Zoe show up? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the author of life, the thing you need the most and that I need the most. He is the only one that can provide it. Newsflash, you're all going to die. Newsflash, this life is not going to last forever. You're growing older. Things happen. And the desperate need that everyone has is life. And we struggle. We wrestle with that. Every human society is asking the question, is there something later on? How do we overcome this thing that we all experience? Has anybody ever not had it happen to them? Jesus is the answer to that question. He is the only answer. Within Him is life. He had it with Him at the beginning, and He brings it with us, and He offers it to all who will call upon His name. That is the Word became flesh. That is His job. And John wants us to understand this. He is the author of life. And finally, beloved, He came to give us new birth. That new life comes with rebirth. It's kind of interesting. It was pointed out to me. John does not have an explicit description of the birth of Jesus. Think about that. You know what John's gospel beginning is all about? Yeah, He came. He talks about that. But he talks about birth. But it's not Jesus' birth. It's your birth. And my birth. And the birth of anyone who will believe in Him, who will call upon His name, can be born again, can be reborn. That first birth was by man and by the will of man, as he says. But the birth that Jesus comes proclaiming and offering is the birth by the Spirit. A new birth. We can be born again. We can be made whole again. We can be brought back into that right relationship with God. And John says, He came to His own and His own people did not receive Him, but all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, verse 12, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. There's a new birth. There's a birth scene in John 1. But it's about your birth and my birth, giving us new life. And so this Christmas, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, stand in awe of the great mystery of the faith, of the Christian faith, that the very Word of God, the great Creator, the great Sustainer of all creation, the Author of life, who is very God, took on human flesh and dwelled among us. Why? As the Christmas carol says, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. What will you do with this Jesus? What will you do with this Jesus? My earnest prayer is that He will not be here for a season in your life. He will not be here and on your heart for just a period of time. And then we move on to new holidays. He's way, way, way bigger than that. He is the author of the life that you and I and the whole world needs. Receive that life at this season. Call upon His name. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Let us pray. Lord, we come before You this morning and we do stand in awe of this message from John, that he wanted us to know about Jesus, the very Word of God. And Lord, whatever we're wrestling with today, whether it's things in life have just not gone like we thought, or whether we've received hard news lately, or whether we have unexpected things or unknown futures in front of us that are worrying us, may we focus on the eternal Word of God, Your very Son, Jesus, who really is the answer to all of our deepest longings and all of our deepest hurts and all of our deepest needs. May we see Him in everything that happens this season, in the ornaments, in the lights, in the songs, in the children, in the opening, the presents. May He just jump out at us, Lord, and draw us nearer to Him through this season. Use it. Use it to draw us to You, God. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song now. Grant's going to lead us. And if there's a need that you have, whether it's to ask for prayers or whether you need to study more about who this Jesus is so you can be His disciple and be born again, or maybe you're ready to give your life to Christ and be buried with Him in baptism, if that's something that you need today, this is a time to do that.